Growing an industry-leading podcast does not have to be hard. You do not need to hard sell or have a million followers. How? Simply listen to this episode as I chat with Josh Tapp, host of one of the top 50 marketing and entrepreneurship podcasts, The Lucky Titan. He shares the Pantheon method for scaling and growing a podcast using a self-funded marketing system. So let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have an icon in the industry, host of The Lucky Titan, one of the top 50 marketing and entrepreneurship podcasts out there, and with Pantheon, and you have just stellar events, stellar community. You're kicking ass in the podcasting business. So I'm so excited to finally have you, Josh.
Oh, I'm so stoked to be here, Lindsay. Lindsay's great, guys. If you're listening to her show, I mean, you know, she's awesome. Very excited to be here. And jive back and forth with you on the podcasting space.
Yeah. So great to finally connect one-on-one here and the audience. So one on however many.
One on hopefully millions, right? That's the game.
Yeah. That's the goal. That's the goal. And speaking of those podcast goals, so I want to talk today about your, you know, you call it the Pantheon method, and your basically your system to create success for your clients and podcasts and your own show. And what I love about it is that it's all about self-funding marketing systems. And that is pretty hot. Like if I was a podcaster, you know, a few years ago, and I had heard that, I would have been like, yes, please.
Yeah. It's basically bottomless or unlimited budgets to marketing. A lot of people go, that's not even possible. It is, guys. It works.
Yeah. So I know we're going to deep dive on a couple of other little tidbits about it, but share kind of like what your Pantheon method is, just kind of like an overview.
Yeah. So do you mind if I tell a story as kind of where it came from?
Absolutely.
Is that okay with you? I like illustrating with stories, and you can happily cut me off at any point. I'm a talker. Obviously I'm in the podcasting space, and we all are, right?
Yeah.
So, so I had a marketing agency. I think we're almost 8 years ago now, 9 years ago. I was doing Facebook ads. And at the time, it was kind of the sexy business to be in. Everybody was running a Facebook ads agency. And we kept having these peaks and valleys where I'm like, I'd make a big sale and then I'd lose everything. And it's what we call that feast and famine, right? And if you're an agency, you know very, very well what I'm talking about. It happens all the time, all the time. And there was one moment where we were doing pretty well. I had just graduated. I got my undergraduate degree and I launched the business. It was doing really well while I was in college. So I didn't go get a job and I was all excited. And then this is about a month and a half after graduation, my wife had quit her job. And I was in my office, my only like one little dinky little office I was in. And, I got a call from our best client and I was all stoked cause they loved us to death. Really amazing, big real estate brokerage. Most of you would probably know their names, but they made up almost, I think it was 65-67% of our revenue. And they called me up like, Josh, you guys are so amazing. We have all these leads and we don't need you anymore.
Oh,
I'm like, what? Like we did so well. They fired us. That it was, it was one of those moments where I realized, man, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm absolutely in the wrong spot. And it really set me on a journey where I was like, okay, how do you get consistent clients? How do you have a, because it wasn't just on them. It was my fault because I let them become one of the big chunks of my revenue.
Yeah. I've been there.
And honestly, I mean, that's a scary moment. I mean, I had to provide for my family. I had to pay all of our vendors. I had to pay a couple employees at the time. I couldn't pay myself and my wife had just quit her job and we were already like $30,000, $40,000 on credit card debt, right? We were not in a good spot. And I had already prepaid for a mastermind and I was really blessed to be in the room with a bunch of people who are making a lot of money. And right after this, this happened, 2 days I think after this happened, I was still just brooding over the fact that we had just lost our business. I mean, I'm gonna have to close my doors.
What the hell am I doing next?
I might have to literally close my doors and just step away from this. And anyway, so I reached out to her in this mastermind and I was sitting next to this guy and he could just tell I was like pouting and he kind of nudged me. He's like, I'm not going to say exactly what I said because it was really crass, but he's like, what's your problem kind of thing? Like, you're in a really cool mastermind. What's the deal? And I was like, dude, I think I'm done. And he goes, Josh, why don't you just like start a podcast or something? You know, like, and I'm like, why would I start a podcast right now? It makes no sense. And then he kind of showed me basically the, what I would say is like the initial understanding of how to generate consistent lead flow. And it was number one, it was through having a platform.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, obviously I'm a huge believer in podcasting now because, you know, since then it's been, like I said, like 8 years now, I think.
Yeah.
We've, you know, I've hit actually top 10 on iTunes a couple of times now. We've made millions of dollars through my podcast and we've helped, I think, almost 1,000 people at this point do the same thing to monetize their own shows and to generate revenue and scale to the top 1%. We have over 150 top 1% shows as clients, and they've all done it using the same methodology that you mentioned. So going full circle back to what you're talking about, which is this, the Pantheon method is what we developed, which is ultimately I took what that guy taught me in that mastermind and said, okay, how do I leverage a platform to create an ecosystem of referrals for myself so that I can have a consistent lead flow in my company? So I wasn't having these feast and famine moments. And so the Pantheon method, what it is, it's a three-step flywheel. So if you're listening to this show, if you're driving, please do not do this, but I want you to get a pen and pencil out. What you're going to do, a pen and paper. You don't need a pen. But take your pen and paper, and I want you to draw three circles. Okay. And put them and then draw an arrow between each of the three circles. Kind of like the recycle symbol, right? This is what a flywheel is, right? So the Pantheon method is this. The first step to the process, what kicks off the flywheel, is you need money. Okay. And a lot of you are going, well, crap, that disqualifies me. I don't have money.
I'm out.
Okay. most people are like, well, I don't know how to do that. Part of our Pantheon method, and we can obviously talk about this today if you want to, Lindsay, but I'm happy to show people. There's a lot of ways to just generate quick cash.
Yeah.
But then the biggest problem is everybody goes and tries to live off that cash, and it's the worst possible idea. So what we do is we say, generate some cash. And my recommendation is you need $5,000 to $10,000, right? If you can get $5,000 to $10,000, even if you have to get it on credit cards or do whatever you got to do, I don't really think you need that, but $5,000 to $10,000. And then what you'll do with that $5,000 to $10,000 is you're going to take half of it and you're going to live off of it. Okay. Take your spouse to Italy. If you're rich, go for it. I don't care. Whatever you want to do with it. The other half of that money you need to reinvest into. So that's the second pillar, is to reinvest, and you're reinvesting into growth, which is the third circle, right? So it goes, monetize, reinvest, growth. That's the flywheel. And what will happen is if you invest in the growth of a platform that is generating you consistent leads, referrals who want to come to you and buy, then you can then monetize that audience and you can make more money, which can then be put back into the reinvestment cycle, which can then grow your show further, grow your platform further, which generates more money. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Very, very simple model.
It just keeps going. It's like a vending machine of goodness.
Right. Right. And a lot of people are like, well, Josh, then why aren't you a billionaire doing this? Right. We've generated a lot of money doing this. There are two factors to when you're in business, like with marketing. A lot of people think, well, if I could have $1 million, I just run Facebook ads. What you'll find out really quickly is you can grow too fast for what your company can scale.
Yeah.
I've done this about 4 times in my life. We did it again last year, like an idiot. I did it one more
it's
time.
Painful. Like, it's
I will never do it again. We had this huge spike in sales. And then we had a scramble moment where we almost lost our company over 2 months.
Bloody because, stressful.
Yeah, because you're like, whoa, we grew too fast. We generated too much revenue. And then all of a sudden we had our expenses increase. And then being able to fulfill on that, we had to hire a whole bunch of people. It became this big nightmare for us. I believe in steady, consistent growth. And that's why I love this methodology, is because when applied properly, even myself, I fail at this sometimes, where I get all excited as an entrepreneur. I'm like, we're going to get $10 million added to our bottom line this month. And then I regret it when the money comes in the door. Mm-hmm. So what I can tell you, though, is that building this flywheel is the fastest way to generate sales on a consistent basis, that you're not having these feast or famine moments, right? Because most people, what they'll do when they start a business is they get all excited. They build a website. They build their product. They spend months and months and months designing. And then they go out and say, okay, who wants it? And they do it really quietly.
Yeah. Right?
They go on one podcast. They, you know, make a couple posts about it on Facebook. They run $100 in ads and they're like, nobody wants my stuff. Okay. If that's you, you haven't spent enough money. I'm just going to tell you that much right now. Right.
Yeah.
So,
or they get a bunch of clients and then they're like, oh, I'm good. I don't need to market anymore. Or then you're hooped. Oh.
Yep. And then you're doomed. The truth of it is that most people will start this cycle. They get all excited because they get clients, and then they forget that 90% of your business is actually your marketing and your sales. Fulfillment's only about 10% of what you do as a company. If you don't have consistent lead flow coming in, your company will fall. So, I mean, that's what the flywheel is built to do, is that it makes it so that your marketing self-funds, so that you're putting in a dollar and pulling out $1.50 and then investing the $1.50 and getting $3 and so on and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then you can actually, again, that whole scaling piece, like as a business owner, when you're managing people, processes, procedures, like all of those things, so that you're not letting down your customers and they are still getting the top, you know, highest degree of service. You're juggling all of those things. And if you grow too fast and you don't have an infrastructure to support that, you're going to burn out. You're going to let clients down. Things are going to break. It's going to get ugly. And if you are growing at a consistent level, you can kind of like tweak those procedures and like hire a new person, get them going. Like you can manage all those pieces successfully without anything breaking at a massive degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think as entrepreneurs, we get so hung up on the fun pieces, which are like building the website and designing and all this stuff. And honestly, fulfilling on the product a lot of times.
Yeah.
I found that most entrepreneurs fall into one of two categories. They're really good marketers and they suck at fulfillment, or they spend most of their time fulfillment and never get good at marketing. So they die.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously there's a third group who's really good at both, but most people kind of fall in those two categories. Most of the people in my world fall in that second category where they're like, man, I'm not really good at marketing, but I love people. I have a mission. I have a message. I have something like those people are the people I love working with.
Me
because
too.
I go, okay, you should focus on that. The beautiful thing about doing this flywheel effect, like doing the Pantheon method, is literally it's structuring your business in a way that you can do that. You just pay other people to do the other pieces. You just have to kick it off, right? It's one or two small actions, and then you just get the flywheel going, right? And then you can sit over there and you can be the best at what you do. You know, you can make every person feel loved. You can share your message out there. You can change the world in your own way. And then you don't have to worry about this business side, right?
I think a lot of entrepreneurs try to do it all and do it all themselves. And that's where it breaks down.
Well, I mean, let's face it, Lindsay. I mean, I do that still. I have a call.
I'm
right
so
before
type
this.
A.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, I'm the same way. Right before, so I have two business partners, and I would highly recommend you have business partners, contrary to what everybody says. They're all three of us have different personality types. So I'm the type A. I'm the driver. Mm-hmm. I have my other business partner, my brother, and he is more the ops brain. He's really good at fulfillment. That's his thing. He's really good at making sure that we're providing a great result. And then we have a math brain, which is he does the CFO. He makes sure that our company doesn't sink, right? But funny enough, one of the finance guys is an accountant. So he's kind of the I hate to say it this way, like the pessimist.
Yeah,
the
realist, totally.
I guess.
Sometimes you need that. Checks and balances.
You do. I genuinely believe that. And they shouldn't be like dragging you down, but saying like, guys, here's a realistic thing. If we don't do X, Y, Z, we're not going to, and that's why I love having that as a partner, that person as a partner. But I have found that for myself, as the type A, I'm outdoing what you're talking about of I've got 15 different hats on and I, because I love every part of the process, I've fallen in love with, I literally even love diving into spreadsheets and looking at our numbers. When truthfully, I'm like, I have a guy who has equity in my company. He gets a ridiculous salary. I don't need to ever look at my numbers. He comes and gives me a synopsis, but sometimes I go in there and I play with the models and I'm like, what a waste of time. But anyways, so I digress, but it's truthfully good. It's like, if you're an entrepreneur, it's learning to check yourself and realize that it's okay that happens, but it's not okay to continue doing it.
Yeah.
Because my partners just called me out this morning. They said, Josh, you've added three more hats to your plate. Pull the other three off.
Yeah.
Stick to your one. Be the dancing monkey.
It's nice to have the partners though that kind of like pull you back, right?
Pull
back the reins. So I want to dive into the podcasting aspect of it.
Yeah.
With your flywheel, you've got obviously reinvest, monetize, audience growth, and you have, you know, put your clients in top rankings, the high rankings for podcasts.
Right.
Like, what is the secret sauce in that? I mean, I know there's no like cookie cutter perfect thing, but like, what are some of your secrets for audience growth?
Yeah. So let me throw a couple of things out there. first and foremost, like you said, there is no cookie cutter process, but there are frameworks. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed over 1500 people, and the majority of those people are making above $100 million. I target these extremely wealthy people. And the reason why is because I want my brain to work like theirs. Yeah. And if you look at a lot of them, there's been 25, 30 different books written on this with extremely, you know, extreme amounts of research. So I'm not going to go out there and create the next good to great or whatever it is, right? Like by researching, yeah, you know, 1,000 people or whatever, but it's all out there. But what I can tell you is that the number one thing when generating an audience, the number one thing in scaling a business is that an audience is the number one feeder of everything that they do. Mm-hmm. All of the successful companies out there are really, really good at generating community. I have just found that podcasting is one of the easiest places to get started. And it's one of the most intimate places to get started. Right. And here's why. And I'm sure you preach this all the time, Lindsay, because this is what you do as well. Podcasting in and of itself is the only form of media that you can consume while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
Think about it. You can't and shouldn't be reading a book while you're driving. You can't and shouldn't be watching a video while you're driving. But guess what? Probably 70% of you listening to this right now are sitting in your car.
Yep.
Driving. And consuming hopefully really good content. I hope you're getting value out of this, but all of Lindsay's other episodes are great. So, but like that's the reason why I believe podcasting. But then as far as like growth hacks for scaling a show, I think the number one problem that people have when they try to grow a show is they think about it in terms of a marketing channel. Okay. So podcasting is a marketing channel. Blogging is a marketing channel. YouTube is a marketing channel. Your website's a marketing channel. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks that they're separate entities, and they're not.
Agreed.
What I recommend is launching what we call a show, right? It's an actual show, not a podcast or a YouTube channel or what have you, because a show can be repurposed and put on all of those platforms. Mm-hmm. Because some people like to read, some people, yep, like to watch videos, some people like to listen to podcasts. I'm one of the reasons I got so into podcasting as a business is because I have like 10 podcasts. I've never missed an episode, and some of them are daily shows, right?
Yeah.
And they're all business shows. I'm not one of the true crime type people. I don't get entertained by podcasting, but I learn auditorially. But so let me give you some very simple hacks for 2023. To grow an audience. So first and foremost, scrap social media. Okay. You don't need Facebook, don't need LinkedIn, don't need Twitter, TikTok, whatever the heck the new platform is. I don't even have a TikTok account. Logged in. Honestly, I don't believe in it. But anyways, moral of the story is social media does not grow an audience for you. What social media does is it maintains and ascends your existing audience. Okay. So if you're chasing like a million likes on Instagram, go ask somebody who's done that and then go look at their Stripe account and see how much money they've generated. It's right? Very, very little.
To me, I've worked vanity. With some of the
it's hugely vanity. I've worked with some of the top influencers online who aren't doing something else. Cause like you look at The Rock, for example, he makes a ton of money through the other things that he does, but everybody knows who he is on social media. Mm-hmm. But then you look at some of these people who've just, yeah, I have a million followers on TikTok. You're like, okay, great. What do you make? I just spoke with somebody.
How do you monetize it? How do you?
Yeah. They come to me and they're like, Josh, I have a million people viewing my content and I'm getting paid $5,000 a month. Do you realize how much work it is to get a million people to see your content? I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But anyways, social media, pull it off your plate. I'm giving you permission to never post again. Okay. Because you can pay somebody else to do that later.
Yeah.
The next place. So in 2023, what's really working well, especially if you have a podcast in and of itself, is that a podcast, we've had this problem ever since the beginning of time of podcasting, is that there's been no way to track the listener data. So there's no way to know how much of the episode are they listening to. There's no way to know who specifically is listening to the show. And it's really hard to drive listenership because we're lacking what's called discoverability. People being able to find your show.
Right.
So, and for Lindsay, this is just for your own information too. You probably even know this, is that the way that we in the past have been able to hit the top 1% as a show is we do what's called a syndication model, where all we do is we pool together a bunch of shows that target the same audience. We all run ads and then we all cross refer each other. And that allows us to grow really quickly because that was the only way to get to basically like hack the discoverability.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, you're relying on iTunes and Spotify's algorithms to get you found. But I've sat behind the scenes with these people who run this, and they've shown me the algorithm, and it literally, it only does it based off of your subscriber growth. So yeah. If you have a killer piece of content that answers a very specific question on iTunes, it does not matter. If Joe Schmo, who has a horrible piece of content, but it's he somehow got 100 subscribers that he bought in the last 2 days, he will be prioritized. So it's really hard to get found. You have to get onto the charts to get found. And so what's been beautiful is in 2022, YouTube actually released this new podcasting platform. Basically, you're just leveraging a YouTube channel to be able to do, to publish your podcast. And interestingly enough, since they launched in October, it is, March of 2023 right now, they are the number one most listened to platform for podcasts, period. Beating out iTunes, Spotify,
crazy,
Google Podcasts,
right?
all of them. They beat them out in 4 months.
Imagine what it's going to be like next year.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, it'll be game over, yeah. Right? But this is why they're killing it. Because creators like me are looking at this going, they have a discoverability engine.
Yeah.
Because what YouTube does, everybody says, oh, there's a YouTube algorithm. It's wrong. They have five algorithms based in there. You have five different things you can optimize for to get discovered. None of them are tied to how many subscribers you have.
Exactly.
So, like, we literally just took one of our clients. He launched a show in the finance sector, which is one of the most difficult sectors to break through in.
It's hard.
We launched him, put him on YouTube. We ran some ads on YouTube specifically for his channel. So it wasn't like, hey, buy my stuff, come to my channel. We spent $1,500. Disclaimer, this is my other brother who actually has an agency doing this, and he's a killer at it. We paid him $1,500. And with those $1,500, we grew to 400 subscribers, but he had over, 120,000 views on his content.
Yeah. And that's what counts. You want eyeballs on your stuff.
Yeah. But here's where it got fun. We then tracked it and we said, okay, who is listening to this? Right. So we said, who is listening to this? And all we did is we ran $50 a day in advertisements, what are called retargeting ads, where we just said, hey, if they have watched the video to 50% or further, they're interested in my content. We just advertise them directly with his offer. With 400 subscribers, okay, guess how many sales he's pulled out of there?
Six
sales, okay? Which sounds like, oh, that's not that much. His average person makes him $35,000, okay? So he spent $2,000 up front, which most of you could probably pull off of a credit card somewhere. Spent $2,000 and pulled out, I think it came out to like $220,000. So what he came out to.
That's pretty good ROI.
Yeah. It's killing it, right? Yeah. And if you're like, eh, okay, I don't want to do ads or whatever, that's fine. That's a growth hack that everybody needs to be using right now. And I'm
absolutely.
Like, my brother's going to love me for this because I keep evangelizing them because they're killing it. But, but like, he's one of a million different agencies that can do this because YouTube has a discoverability engine.
Yeah.
But this is where it gets fun. I'm trying not to talk too much, Lindsay, but what's really fun is once you've mastered one platform. So let's say you're doing YouTube and you're putting in X amount of dollars, it's yielding a certain amount of cash. Instead of taking that $220,000 and putting it into his pocket, what he could do, let's say he just pulled $20,000 of that. Okay. He said, okay, I'm gonna take 20 grand and I'm going to move that into, I'm going to do that into marketing. You guys need to realize this. Those who are listening to this, you can hire the world's best marketing agency. There's like two of them out there, Chamber Media, these sort of guys, they only charge you $3,000 a month. Okay. And you could put the $17,000 into the ad spend with some of the world's top agencies out there. You want to be successful? Hire the best.
Yeah.
Right. So the entire concept here is saying, okay, you've mastered YouTube. Now let's say you're like, okay, now I want to have my LinkedIn be successful. You take that $20,000 and you say, who is the number one best player in LinkedIn? Because I have 20 grand to hand to this person, right? And they have a guaranteed result. And they're going to promise you, hey, we're going to get you to XYZ result with the amount of money you spend. So you're going to go spend that money with them. And guess what? That's going to fuel your growth, which then gives you more monetization opportunities. You've generated more cash, which you can then roll back into it. It's amazing. And then I haven't even bridged into the fact that you can actually get sponsors and other people to pay your way through this entire game. It's unbelievable.
And what I love about that concept is that you're not feeling like you have to do everything at once and everything well. It's yep. like dial in one thing, get the ROI, take the money, focus on one other thing. Like you're still going to turn, you know, on the like YouTube or wherever, but then you're like focusing on the next channel and the next thing. And it's like, you're just like stepping stones of getting, you know, all that action happening. And you're
I just call it budget rolling. That's what growth. We do is you're just picking and choosing the next thing like you're saying, and you're saying, okay, because I mean, how many of you listening to this, I mean, Lindsay, we've experienced this 1,000 times. So like you should write a book. You should have a LinkedIn page. You should have a Facebook group. You should. I had a friend, he says it's called being shoulded on, which I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
I get so sick of hearing it. And I'm like, the truth is, yes, I do want all of those things,
yeah,
but they're not going to fuel my strategy now.
No.
I want to generate cash from one thing, which then I can roll into a second thing because it's self-funding. It's covering its own costs. Why don't I just put more money into something else and then into something else.
Even your own time management and how much time you invest in something. It's not just a monetary thing.
Yeah. The ease of mind. I mean, I can honestly tell you, even in our own company, I have not worried about where our next lead is coming from for 3 to 4 years now. There's always more people looking for what you're doing. It doesn't even matter if you're in a hyper specific niche. There's always more people.
Agreed.
And honestly, if I had like one message I could give to your audience and the entire world is that owning a business is not hard. There's three pieces to business. There's marketing, there's sales, there's operations.
Yeah.
If you start in operations, you're doing it wrong. You need to start with marketing and then you need to sell. And then once you've sold something, you then build the product or the service, right? I think people overcomplicate it. And then when they're sitting here going, okay, I have these clients and it's not growing. Why is it not growing? It's like, well, you cut off the lifeblood.
Yeah.
It goes from marketing to sales to operations.
Yeah.
If there's no clients, you're not spending on marketing. And then
or you
I'm
didn't
also,
outsource and you're doing it all yourself like.
And I look at like, because we work with a lot of like Inc. 5000, Inc. 500 companies, right? And they all go about it the venture capital route where they go raise cash. They understand that they need money to grow, right? But then they don't use the money correctly, in my opinion, but that's why most of them fail. But truthfully, like, bootstrapping correctly, everybody thinks you need millions of dollars. I want you to put a number in your brain. If you're at zero or you're less than 100,000, you only need 20 grand to kick off this engine to be able to scale.
Yeah.
Because let's just say you spent $5,000 in 4 different places. 3 of them might fail, but one's going to compensate and generate you $40,000 to $60,000. And then you can take that $40,000 to $60,000, take half, take your spouse to Italy, take half. You've got 30 grand. You can go try 6 other things, right?
Yeah.
And
it feels more doable too. It's like,
yeah,
you're not like, oh my God, this big thing.
Yeah. I just think that business feels so huge because we're like, well, I don't know what I don't know, but all of these, this is why I say like, don't watch Shark Tank, don't do these other things, because you go watch these people and they're saying all these fancy terms. I did my MBA. I just finished last year. Actually, I've been doing it because I wanted to see how businesses run at a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, what bugged me is at the end of the entire degree, I was like, you literally just explained exactly what we can explain in 3 steps, but it took you 3 years to do it.
Right.
And it made me go, wow, like we are so overcomplicating such a simple thing. Because truthfully, I mean, I prescribe to the Henry Ford philosophy, which is like, I can be the dumbest man in the room as long as I know the smartest guys in the room and I can afford to pay them. Right.
Yeah.
And like, again, if a lesson just to leave for anybody outside of podcasting and everything else is stop trying to do it the free way. Because if you do it the free way, it's going to take a lot of your time. And if you're concerned about it actually working, literally, you guys can message me. Reach out to me on LinkedIn and say, Josh, where should my next lead source be? Give me a 2-sentence synopsis of your business.
Yeah.
I will direct you to somebody who has a guaranteed result for what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Don't go out there and Google it. Talk to somebody who knows these agencies, right?
Yeah.
I do this for free for people because I just
so
want
much
people
time.
To get
it
off
saves
the
money in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that people... Yeah, I think people are overcomplicating it. I'm just going to leave it there.
Could not agree more. And I even catch myself still doing that. And I'm like, Lindsay, simplify for the love of God. It doesn't have to be this hard. It's human nature. I don't know why we do it, but yeah, it's a great reminder for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're running out of time. I mean, there's so much in the podcasting industry and your Pantheon method and all your strategies that you have that we could go on to forever. But how can people find you, watch your show, and learn from you and have you help them.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one place. It's really, really easy. Just go to pantheon.fm. So Pantheon is PANTHEON.FM. Okay. It's not.com. It's .FM. Go there. You can find my podcast, but more importantly, we have a community, and I know everybody's sick of communities, but we literally have one of the greatest communities of all time.
Agreed.
Because what we're here to do is to actually help you scale your company. So if you're like, Josh, I need help getting that initial cash, yeah. I will point you to the right vendors. Or if you're like, I want to get on shows, we can send you on shows. We have like 1,000 podcasters right now in this group. And then we have a couple Facebook groups that supplement it with over 4,000 other podcasters. I mean, there's no need for you to ever worry about like, where is that next promotional opportunity going to come from? This group is all about helping you really just kick it off, get this flywheel going for yourself. It's completely free. Just come and join us over there. Yeah. So it's pantheon.fm. That's where you can find us.
Perfect. And yeah. And honestly, having the right connections and building the right relationships can turn a business around in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I wish somebody had told me to not do it the free way.
Yeah.
And just said, Josh, you need to put $5,000 towards this one agency, because I weeded through. I probably spent $300,000 trying to do it the free way.
Yeah, yeah,
between
right.
Coaching and time, programs and Jesus. Courses and time. And yeah, let alone millions of dollars worth of time. And I hate watching that happen where people just like course jump or coach jump, where like, okay, this is going to solve my problem. This is going to solve my problem. When truth is, stop trying to do it in a done with you capacity. Just pay somebody who can do it for you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Lindsay, you're doing a great example of this, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Go hire exactly. Lindsay, right? She's not going to toot her own horn, but go hire her, right? So there's that.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm excited for this to go live. And I think you guys are amazing. You have such a great community and you guys know what you're doing. So if you need higher rankings, monetization, and grow your podcast, he's the man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Have good to talk one, to you, guys. Everybody. Bye. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.